Section 2. Why the sufferings of the wicked will not be cause of grief to the righteous, but the contrary. 1. Negatively. It will not be because the saints in heaven are the subjects of any ill disposition. But on the contrary, this rejoicing of theirs will be the fruit of an amiable and excellent disposition. It will be the fruit of a perfect holiness and conformity to Christ, the Holy Lamb of God. The devil delights in the misery of men from cruelty, and from envy and revenge, and because he delights in misery, for its own sake, from a malicious disposition. But it will be from exceedingly different principles, and for quite other reasons, that the just damnation of the wicked will be an occasion of rejoicing to the saints in glory. It will not be because they delight in seeing the misery of others absolutely considered. The damned suffering divine vengeance will be no occasion of joy to the saints merely as it is the misery of others, or because it is pleasant to them to behold the misery of others merely for its own sake. The rejoicing of the saints on this occasion is no argument that they are not of a most amiable and excellent spirit, or that there is any defect on that account, that there is anything wanting, which would render them of a more amiable disposition. It is no argument that they have not a spirit of goodness and love reigning in them in absolute perfection, or that herein they do not excel the greatest instances of it on earth, as much as the stars are higher than the earth, or the sun brighter than a glowworm. And whereas the heavenly inhabitants are in the text called upon to rejoice over Babylon, because God had avenged them on her, it is not to he understood that they are to rejoice in having their revenge glutted, but to rejoice in seeing the justice of God executed, and in seeing his love to them in executing it on his enemies. 2. Positively. The sufferings of the damned will be no occasion of grief to the heavenly inhabitant, as they will have no love nor pity to the damned as such. It will be no argument of want of a spirit of love in them, that they do not love the damned. For the heavenly inhabitants will know that it is not fit that they should love them, because they will know then that God has no love to them, nor pity for them, but that they are the objects of God's eternal hatred. And they will then be perfectly conformed to God in their wills and affections. They will love what God loves, and that only. However, the saints in heaven may have loved the damned while here, especially those of them who were near and dear to them in this world, they will have no love to them hereafter. It will be an occasion of their rejoicing, as the glory of God will appear in it. The glory of God appears in all his works, and therefore there is no work of God which the saints in glory shall behold and contemplate, but what will be an occasion of rejoicing to them. God glorifies himself in the eternal damnation of the ungodly men. God glorifies himself in all that he doth. But he glorifies himself principally in his eternal disposal of his intelligent creatures. Some are appointed to everlasting life, and others left to everlasting death. The saints in heaven will be perfect in their love to God. Their hearts will be all a flame of love to God, and therefore they will greatly value the glory of God, and will exceedingly delight in seeing him glorified. The saints highly value the glory of God here in this, but how much more will they so do in the world to come? They will therefore greatly rejoice in all that contributes to that glory. The glory of God will in their esteem be of greater consequence than the welfare of thousands and millions of souls. Particularly, 1. They will rejoice in seeing the justice of God glorified in the sufferings of the damned. The misery of the damned, dreadful as it is but what justice requires. They in heaven will see and know it much more clearly than any of us do here. They will see how perfectly just and righteous their punishment is, and therefore how properly inflicted by the supreme governor of the world. They will greatly rejoice to see justice take place, to see that all the sin and wickedness that have been committed in the world is remembered of God and has its due punishment. The sight of this strict and immutable justice of God will render him amiable and adorable in their eyes. They will rejoice when they see him who is their father and eternal portion so glorious in his justice. Then there will be no remaining difficulties about the justice of God, about the absolute decrees of God, or anything pertaining to the dispensations of God towards men. But divine justice in the destruction of the wicked will then appear as light without darkness, and will shine as the sun without clouds, and on this account will they sing joyful songs of praise to God, as we see the saints and angels do, when God pours the vials of his wrath upon Antichrist, Rev 16:5-7. They sing joyfully to God on this account, that true and righteous are His judgments. Rev 19:1-6. They seeing God so strictly just will make them value His love the more. Mercy and grace are more valuable on this account. The more they shall see of the justice of God, the more will they prize and rejoice in His love. 2. They will rejoice in it, as it will be a glorious manifestation of the power and majesty of God. God will show His own greatness in executing vengeance on ungodly men. This is mentioned as one end of the destruction eye of the ungodly. What if God, willing to show His wrath, and make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God will hereby show how much He is above His enemies. There are many now in the world who proudly lift up themselves against God. There are many open opposers of the cause and interest of Christ. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Then God will show His glorious power in destroying these enemies. The power of God is sometimes spoken of as very glorious, as appearing in the temple destruction of His enemies. Exodus 15:6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. But how much more glorious will it appear in His triumphing over, and dashing in pieces at once, all His enemies, wicked men and devils together, all His hearty foes. The power of God will gloriously appear in dashing to pieces His enemies as a potter's vessel. Moses rejoiced and sang when he saw God glorify His power in the destruction of Pharaoh and his host at the Red Sea. But how much more will the saints in glory rejoice, when they shall see God gloriously triumphing over all His enemies in their eternal ruin? Then it will appear how dreadful God is, and how dreadful a thing it is to disobey and condemn Him. It is often mentioned as a part of the glory of God, that He is a terrible God. To see the majesty, and greatness, and terribleness of God, appearing in the destruction of His enemies, will cause the saints to rejoice. And when they shall see how great and terrible a being God is, how will they prize His favor? How will they rejoice that they are the objects of His love? How will they praise Him the more joyfully, that He should choose them to be His children, and to live in the enjoyment of Him? It will occasion rejoicing in them, as they will have the greater sense of their own happiness, by seeing the contrary misery. It is the nature of pleasure and pain, of happiness and misery, greatly to heighten the sense of each other. Thus the seeing of the happiness of others tends to make men more sensible of their own calamities. And the seeing of the calamities of others tends to heighten the sense of our own enjoyments. When the saints in glory, therefore, shall see the doleful state of the damned, how will this heighten their sense of the blessedness of their own state, so exceedingly different from it? When they shall see how miserable others of their fellow creatures are, who are naturally in the same circumstances with themselves. When they shall see the smoke of their torment, and the raging of the flames of their burning, and hear their dolorous shrieks and cries, and consider that they in the meantime are in the most blissful state, and shall surely be in it to all eternity. How will they rejoice? This will give them a joyful sense of the grace and love of God to them, because hereby they will see how great a benefit they have by it. When they shall see the dreadful miseries of the damned, and consider that they deserve the same misery, and that it was sovereign grace, and nothing else, which made them so much to differ from the damned, that, if it had not been for that, they would have been in the same condition, but that God from all eternity was pleased to set His love upon them, that Christ hath laid down His life for them, and hath made them thus gloriously happy forever, oh how will they admire that dying love of Christ, which has redeemed them from so great a misery, and purchased for them so great happiness, and has so distinguished them from others of their fellow creatures. How joyfully will they sing to God and the Lamb, when they behold this.